You might want to use or open your King James Bible to the message that I am prepared to deliver today. I'll be using quite a bit of scripture. You may wish to follow along, but if you use any other Bible, then the scripture will not fit. So I am a King James only person, so I have no intention of changing, but I do invite you to stay tuned. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll get into the word. Dear Heavenly Father, it's a real joy and a privilege to be able to bring forth this message today, Lord. Please give me utterance. Lord, please open the hearts of the listener. And Lord God, when all is said, I pray, Lord, that precious souls will be encouraged. And even those, Lord, who have not heard the word before, that they would take it into their lives, into their hearts, Lord, and that before this day is finished, if they're not saved, they will be. They'll give their lives over to Christ. That's what it's all about, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, I call my message today. I like this. When the heart changes, when the heart changes, guess what? The mind will follow. Oh, yes, the mind will follow. The Lord, I want to start off with, this is so important at the very outset. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, and not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And you'll find that in 2 Peter 3, verse 9, if you want to look it up. But that's so crucial. The Lord's not willing that anybody go to hell. Hell wasn't made for mankind. Hell was made for the devil and his angels. So why do you want to go there? Oh, it's just a place of eternal suffering. Anyway, there's more on that to come in other messages. Anyway, take a look at 2 Peter 3:9. Read it over and over until you're sure that you understand it. Understand it. God's not willing that anybody should perish, any of us. Once you're sure that what you're reading, well, it's palatable, you know, you can accept it, or perhaps you want to check it out a little bit further, that's fine as well. But once you're sure of what the verse is saying, which is important, the most important item of all, then I ask that you'd examine yourself to determine beyond all, I say all doubt, beyond all doubt that you are a born-again Christian, a born-again child of the King. Wow. I knew when I was, and mine was, a very sharp conversion. Anyway, you can read that on my website, but I want to get this message done before my time has expired, okay? So please listen carefully. Please open your hearts and your ears to what is being said. All right? Now, notice this very carefully. Notice this very carefully. The Lord is not, in the verse I just read about slackness, the Lord is not what? Slack, right? The Lord is not slack. Now, we all know what slack is, right? I mean, I do. I've been a slacker a long while before. I mean, not just spiritually, but, you know, just a lazy slacker. I think the term is used quite often today, actually. But it's been around for many moons, many moons. The Lord is not slack. I'll tell you that. He's not. We all know what slack is, right? The best definition I know about slackness really is, if someone is too loose, or something is too loose, the person would be loose with their mind and with their tongue. But if something they're wearing is too loose, doesn't fit right, that's slack, right? That's slackness. Like your clothes, when you buy garments that are too big or you lose a lot of weight, or when you are building something and it doesn't quite fit. My mother used to say to me as a kid, when I didn't make something verbally clear, it is, Tommy, she'd say, don't talk so loose. Did you ever hear that? That's an older saying. Don't talk so loose. And how right she was. I did talk loose because a lot of the things I said were just childish things. Didn't really carry much weight. Didn't mean a whole lot. But, you know, have you not heard the proverb? Now, I think a lot of people have heard this. Loose lips sink ships. Loose lips sink ships. Well, another name for looseness, of course, is slackness. Right. And the Lord said he was not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. In other words, when it comes to the gospel concerning your profession of faith, well, there's just no room for slackness. You can't hum and haw and say, well, maybe. Oh, we'll think about it. You know, no, that's being slack. You know, listen carefully. There's a lot to be said. Talk to somebody that, you know, that really walks close to the Lord. It's a great feeling to hear what they have to say. A great encouragement. You know, when you make a profession of faith by walking an aisle or repeating after someone, putting the words in your mouth, and then go about your regular worldly lifestyle without any repentance or change, even evident, do you know what? You're just blowing in the wind, as they say. Blowing in the wind. You know, all Catholics swear that they're saved. Every Catholic swears that they're saved. Well, why is that? Simply because their priest told them so. Well, there's one for the Twilight Zone. Anyway, and how about this example? You plan to meet a friend at a certain hour, all right? But you arrive late. Perhaps because there's no urgency involved, you think. Well, maybe not. This is still considered slackness on your part. This is very common among mankind, usually attributed to another word that God doesn't particularly like. You know what that word is? Pride. Pride. God doesn't like pride. Our intent may be fine, may be sincere, but we as mortals like Adam before us, we're prone to make mistakes, or worse still, sin. We started out almost perfect, but that old sin nature tripped us up along the way, didn't it? Oh, yeah. Well, this is the result of slackness. But God, only God, really, is without slackness. He's exact. Exact. He's perfect in every way. You see, the Lord's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. No, sir. But his long-suffering to us word. Now, isn't that really precious, don't you think? I do. I like that. Our God, our great and holy and righteous God, is really long-suffering, you know, which means his patience. His patience is very generous. Oh, yeah. Why do you suppose God is so long-suffering with us? Huh? Could it be because he loves us? Oh, yeah, that too. Well, he, don't forget, he did give his only begotten Son to die for our sins, sins we could never pay for, right? Wow, that's a real sign of love, I tell you. And look what comes next in 2 Peter 3, verse 9. Here it comes. Not willing that any should perish. Not willing that any should perish. Now, isn't that the greatest love that could only come from God? You know what that really tells us? Well, plain and simple. That no way does our loving God want any of us, you, me, any of us, to go to hell. Wow, I say wow. I don't know about you, but I'm feeling mighty blessed and really loved. Isn't God great? Isn't God wonderful? Let's go back to Peter 3, verse 9. Peter 3, verse 9. And here's the clincher. Here's the clincher. But that all, not just you or me, not just my Cornerstone Baptist Church here in Newmarket, here in Canada, but that all should come to what? Repentance. There's a word a lot of people don't like. Repentance. It's necessary, you'll see, as we move along. Folks, looks like there's a side road with the word repentance here. So let's get it cleared away right now while God is still on the scene. Repentance. In Matthew, let me see. In Matthew 3, verse 8, we read, bring forth fruit, meat for repentance. Okay? Stand by. Mark 2, verse 17. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That's what Jesus said, right? In Luke 5, verse 30. I came not to call the righteous unto repentance. Luke 24:37. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. Wow. How about Acts 11, verse 18. Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Acts 20, verse 21. Testifying to the Jews and also the Greeks, repentance towards God. The list goes on and on and on. I ask you, do we need to repent unto salvation? Huh? Do we? Mark 1, verse 15. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Wow. That's a real doozy, that one, isn't it? Repent ye and believe the gospel. But it's true. Repentance, my friends, is necessary for salvation. I'll say that again. Repentance is necessary for salvation. In today's vernacular, there are those who shun the very word repentance, like it were the plague. Well, it is in a way, I suppose, if you don't do it. To repent, well, it simply means a change of direction. Huh? Both spiritually and physically. You have a change of mind, a change of direction. You're going that way, you turn around and go that way towards God. You're thinking about those things that the devil likes you to think about. You stop and you start thinking about the things God wants you to think about. And you might say, well, wait a minute now. How do I know what God's thinking about? Well, that's where you get into His words. You get the King James Bible. You open it. You read it a little bit every day, a little bit more and more. You understand what it's all about. What it's all about. I understand the spiritual turning, but as long as we believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, we are no longer responsible for the flesh. For it is weak and unrelenting. Who said that? Well, I just said it. But I didn't mean it. But many people do think that. That's their train of thought. Well, I understand the spiritual turning bit. But, you know, you got to believe in Jesus Christ. But I don't understand the flesh thing, you know. I mean, we're still in our flesh. It's weak. It's unrelenting. And I say unto you, God looks upon the heart. Yes, God looks upon the heart, which is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know it? Now, this is why Christ was crucified. You got to understand that. Because we could not save ourselves from sin. You might be able to save yourself from falling in a ditch, but you can't save yourself from the greatest enemy of all, and that's sin. Only Christ could do that. Repenting is turning from what Satan caused you to be to what the blood of Christ has freed you to be. Listen again. Repenting is turning from what Satan caused you to be to what the blood of Christ has freed you to be. A saint of the God, a saint of the King. Now listen carefully. This is the most important truth you will ever hear. You will ever hear. Christ will not be mocked. Christ will not be mocked. Now, He was put to shame once as God the Father made Him a little lower than the angels so that He might take our transgressions upon Himself at Calvary. He suffered and He died for every man, every woman, every child on the face of the earth. He did. And I thank Him for that. And if you preach, Mr. Preacher, that repentance is not necessary for salvation, then you had better examine yourself, because you are preaching a lie. Have you got that, preacher? A lie. And those who believe those who believe the same thing are living the same lie. The same lie. A quickie prayer and a repeat after me may sound like a heavenly oratorio, but without repentance, the words are simply blowing in the wind. That's all they are. Hear me well. Hear me well. You who think you are and are not. You are nothing but the dust under our Savior's sandals. That's all you are. You are the victim of a slippery tongue who uses words that are carried away by the wind. That's what you are. Repentance is not difficult to understand. Not at all. It is simply your heart and your mind changing direction. Changing direction. For you were headed towards hell. And now you are headed towards heaven or glory. Make sense? Sure does. Many a soul has said to me, how can I be sure if I'm saved? How can I be sure? I've heard lots of people say that. Well, Jesus gave the best answer He could possibly give when He said in Matthew 7:16, ye shall know them by their fruits. Ye shall know them by their fruits. He repeated it again in verse 20, Matthew 7, verse 20. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Matthew 3, verse 8. Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance. Meet for repentance. All goes on and on. Listen, people, please. I implore you, please. Although the fruits of repentance may not occur overnight, nonetheless, they are surely manifest in due time. They will. If you trust in the Lord, if you believe in the Lord, if you pray without ceasing, give your life over to Jesus Christ. I know of what I speak, or I would not speak it at all. Yes, yes, my friends, we who belong to Him know that the road of repentance may be a long and weary road for some, but the journey is not without rewards, I promise you. I promise you. I urge you to examine yourself today to see if you truly are in the faith. Have old things passed away? Are all things becoming new for you? Are they? They should. In conclusion, my friends, in conclusion, I leave you with these thoughts. When the heart changes, the mind will follow. Have you got that? When the heart changes, the mind will follow. My friends, I urge you to, if you're not already deep into your Bible, or if you don't even own a Bible, I would pray that you would consider picking up a 1611 King James Authorized Bible. But do not go into a Bible store and say, what Bible would you recommend? Because they'll give you anything. And most and everything except the King James is not perfect. The King James Authorized 1611 is the Word of God, the true Word of God. I urge you, get the true Word of God. Pray about it. Ask God to open your eyes, but more so, ask Him to open your heart. Ask Him that you would be filled with His wisdom, that you would understand what is being said, that you and pray that you will be, you will have it applied to your life, to your heart, in a way that's pleasing unto Him. And if you don't attend a church today, then I would urge you, find a good Bible-believing church. They don't. I would suggest, not that they all are, but I would suggest that you find a smaller church first. Because the churches that are small for Christ are usually big on getting to heaven. Yes, they are. Some of these big churches, they're trying to keep these massive crowds coming in the doors, but they're doing things that are not pleasing to God, like they're having fireworks even. They're having entertainment for people, putting on rock shows and stuff like that. And maybe they might talk a little about the Word of God somewhere in the mix. That's not godly stuff. Stay away from that. Don't be fooled by the devil. Don't allow yourself to be pulled sideways and end up in some place where God is not pleased with you. You see, if you're in a place where God is not pleased, God is not going to stand by you when you need Him. You see, God doesn't need you. We need Him. We need God. I would ask you, too, that you would check out my website. It's till he comes, one word, till he comes, .net, battle site for Christ. And if you go there, there are lots of sermons there, hundreds of them, and they're all sermons I did myself. Not that I object to having other people's, no. But I did them all myself as God led me through. And also you'll read my testimony there. I would like you to read that because you'll find that encouraging. But you'll find it under resume. Look under resume. That's where my testimony is. And there's lots of other good articles there that will encourage you along the way. And I want you to know, I don't even know your name right now, but I know that if you're listening to this message, you're going to hear what I'm about to say, and I'm finished when I say it. When the heart changes, the mind will follow. God loves you. God loves you. God bless. Amen.